Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Anissa Save America, a podcast where we all talk about Anissa's excellent plan to save America and possibly the entire world. She's
what
got some good ideas.
She's getting political. She gets political.
I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete, and that's not what this is.
No, this is actually Podvincible, a podcast about Invincible. We're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 7, I'm Not Going Anywhere. If you haven't watched it on Prime Video, go check it out. A lot of big stuff goes down this episode.
Oh, man.
The biggest thing of which, just to give the broad overview, the broadest possible overview, because I know Pete likes,
He loves broad.
He loves broads.
Oh, boy.
This guy loves broads. Hey, I love broads.
Well, anyway, I don't know what we're talking about here. I already lost track of this. The big thing that goes on here is that Amber and Mark try to mend their relationship, go on a lovely date all over the world, have a nice time. And in the middle of that, Amber almost gets choked out and killed by a Viltrumite named Anissa. Anissa is, as much as she can be, kind of the carrot to the rest of the Viltrumite army stick, where she's coming along and being like, hey, here's why you actually want the Viltrumites to take over. This is why it's going to be good. She fights a sea monster together with Mark. And then when he still doesn't want to do it, she beats the crap out of him until he gives up and leaves. And then we get a bunch of cliffhangers at the end of the episode, as well as teases for things to come. Meanwhile, in the middle of that, some of the things that are going on, Rexplode is continuing to mend and try to get better. Donald really bonds with his fellow cyborg man and discovers some information about himself. And Debbie gets asked out on a date. So lots of stuff going on.
Debbie date.
Debbie date. It's nice.
I'm sure I skipped a couple of things there, but what did you guys think? Justin, you thought the last episode was kind of a middling episode. What did you think about this?
Well, it's funny. This show, it feels simultaneously like a lot is happening, but also that not a lot is happening.
Come on, dude.
That's not – just wait. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think, you know, there's so many storylines, and each one is getting just slid along a little bit. Like, for instance, the example of this is the Donald – Rick storyline, which is this, like, who would have thought that we would have a big emotional scene between these two,
like, what,
C-D list characters on this show, just from like the main storyline order of action? Like, that's sort of crazy, but it's good.
It is.
I also like, my big thing that I thought was really well done this episode is they really gave the Amber Mark relationship the time and space it needed to come to an end on its own terms, so that the deck can be cleared, so that Adam, Eve, and Mark can really get it on.
Stop it.
That's what's up.
Let's back up the truck here and unpack what you're talking about.
Unpack it. We're helping Pete move today.
A lot of the times, shows will kind of like make decisions about relationships, or something will happen with an actor or whatever. So like, but the fact that they did not only try, but like then go back and give it everything that they could, I thought was not only like really human for an animated insane show about superpowers and fighting space monsters, but just, I just was really happy that we got this like last ditch effort to really kind of go in and try to make this work, so that if it does end and they do walk away from this relationship, those who are pulling for it feel good about it, because at least they really did try. And if it was meant to be, it was meant to be. But man, did they really give it a go. So you can kind of feel good about what they went through, you know?
Justin, what did you think about the date montage? Because you expressed reservations about the music on the show last episode of the podcast. What'd you think about that?
Still same. I wrote the needle drops are still a little weird. Do you guys think so? Am I on my own in this?
Might be hyper focused on it now because you said something, but it definitely struck me as weird in that scene. There was something about the music that was just like, it wasn't exactly the right song for the sequence.
That's what I felt about all of it. The music feels just a little out of sync with the tone. To me, it feels very like Dawson's Creek, like super melodramatic. And this show's not as it's almost anti-melodramatic. There's a lot of emotion and drama. It's just there isn't that like schmaltzy. I feel like the drama goes hard and this show goes hard and the music feels very soft to me.
First off, a comic convention is Dawson's Creek, okay? It's all the drama that you want from the Creek at a comics convention. It's all the happening.
Oh, you're going to the Dawson's Con coming up, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait.
You're doing Pacey cosplay, which is just sort of the way you are?
Yep. Is that too lazy, or you think I'll be all right?
No, I think don't be lazy. Go as Pacey. I think you're great.
I have two things to say about the comic convention at the beginning. So Amber and Mark go to a comic convention together. They're hanging out there. Mark is super stoked and excited. He meets one of his heroes, the guy who does Seance Dog. They have a very fun conversation there. Working it's backwards, the conversation that he has with the guy about animation, like Pete was saying, it's very meta. It talks about all the tricks you can do for cheap animation. This is a great riff on the comic book where what they did was, hey, sometimes when the artist is very tired, they just repeat panels. And that's what they did there in the comic book, is it's just all these repeating panels, which is very funny, very iconic joke for the comic book. I love how they expanded that on the show.
And it played like a full 3-minute sketch. I was wild they spent that time.
I was like, what am I watching, 30 Rock over here? This is fun.
Hoo-ah, 30 Rock. The other thing that always I wrestle with a little bit when I'm reading Invincible or when I'm watching this, he's a superhero. It is superhero world where superheroes clearly have existed for a while. Why are there comics and comic conventions? Like, why is he so excited about superhero comics? Because
you get excited about superhero comics,
but superheroes don't exist here.
Yeah, but are you saying like, and then if you could see superheroes on the news, you'd be like, "That's all I needed."
Just think, yeah, you would just be like, "Well, I don't need other stories. I have this."
I don't know. It's the cities are constantly being ruined by these superheroes. And broken and people murdered. I feel like that's probably a pretty sensitive emotional subject for a lot of people to be like, yeah, just relax and read hundreds of comic books. What's going on with their storylines? It just, I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't jibe for me.
I feel like in a world with superheroes, there'd be more comics.
It's weird because you were making a good point, but then you said the word jive and I lost all faith.
Jibe with B.
Oh, well. Either way, still don't like it.
It doesn't jive with me.
Yeah, I don't.
You know?
Can we get back to what we cool cats were talking
about? I'd like
to.
I'd like to, but it's hard because you're making it impossible by saying ridiculous
things. And we will finish this episode with a classic CBC sketch sesh.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Seance Dog, let's do it.
Well, let's to talk more about the relationship, because I do think they've done a good job of making their dating awkward, and you can feel it being like sort of grinding the gears. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really like that their breakup happened. They had earned it sort of. Yep. But I feel like the show is sort of saying like you have to be in a relationship with someone you work with.
No, because I mean,
that's sort of the reason that they finally break up is she's like, I can't do this. You can't do this. We're in different worlds. Is there anyone you could date that you have common ground with, like in a work situation?
Well, I think it's a little bit of, I hear what you're saying. And maybe the guy who writes the show has a crush on a coworker and this is their secret way of putting it out there. But I think that this is one of those things where she is so fragile. You know, the shock of like her being this little nothing in this superpowered lady's hand.
Pete, that's mean. That's mean of you to say about Amber. I thought you liked her.
I love Amber. What are you talking about? I'm just saying she was being held by the neck.
Are you coworkers?
Pacey and Amber. Hello.
I'm just saying I like the fact that she was like, I'm using this weapon against you. I'm this frail little thing. I can't live like this. I thought not only was it earned, but also like a good way to kind of look at it. You know what I mean? Because we have this like MJ Spider-Man relationship where she's cool with him being out all night, almost dying all the time, you know. So like they really kind of had her sitting in a little bit more, and I think it's an interesting choice. And I don't understand what you guys are fucking saying.
What we're trying to say, if I could just explain it, is that I feel like when I'm watching TV, they are my coworkers because I spend so much time with them.
Right.
That makes sense. Help like make it
make
sense.
Yeah.
I think that accurately sums up what we're both saying.
So I'm dating Amber, I guess, is what you're saying.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow.
She's single now, so it's cool.
Pete, so close after the breakup? Do you think that's wise?
I got my shot. I'm taking it.
Wow. On the coworker thing, I don't think that's exactly what it is. I know you're sort of joking, Justin, or full-on joking. But I do think, like, what she's saying is it's more in line with somebody who has a high intensity, dangerous job, like military relationship, maybe is a better way of thinking about it, where you're taken overseas for long periods of time, you're fighting, you might die. It's very hard, I would imagine, to be in a relationship with somebody like that if you're back home with kids. Lots of people do. Lots of people make it work. But that is a high-stress relationship.
Yeah, constantly. Like an ice road trucker situation. Right. You know, every
and
time
Amber,
you say goodbye,
yeah,
this could be it.
Totally. Military, ice road truckers, this is the same.
Yeah. They're fighting ice.
Yeah,
the ultimate enemy, ice.
Their life is on the line.
Yeah.
We've all
seen.
They
have
the show.
To drive those trucks full of like different stuffed animals and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah,
yeah. And by the way, for more on that, listen to Pod Road Truckers, our other podcast.
Yeah.
Oh man, what's your handle on that podcast?
Yeah, we do that podcast over CB radio.
Over CB. We're all driving. We get in our trucks and drive in separate directions.
Yeah. It's my favorite part of the cast.
That's a really good idea for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that. Zalbadia, Pacey, you guys out there? Here we are. The Sizzler.
JT Sizzle on the 404.
I think that, like, it's impressive how much I like Rexplode more and more each episode. Like, he started with such a douchebag, and I feel like they did such a great job of, like, we have this not only hilarious voice actor, but this person who can be a little bit more than one-dimensional, and I think it's fun to see Rexplode grow as a human being during the show.
I think this show loves Jason Mantzoukas, so they're finding ways to make Rexplode relevant. And shouts, I think all of America feels the same way. How about when he Spidey-thwipped that wrist laser?
Yeah,
I love the joke after that where he takes down the squid guy and is like, well, I'm going to lead with that next time. Great.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah, I thought the boss fight with Octoboss was a ton of fun. And one of those moments where I was like, dude, I think he's toast. Like, I don't think he's making it out of this thing.
He was just shot in the head, and he legitimately fought through a blood hole.
I saw a good idea. I think this was posted on Reddit, where somebody said if they do an episode between seasons, like the Adam Eve episode, they should do a Rexplode episode. And I thought that was a great idea.
I mean, I think that's an easy win. Yeah, I bet they would. I bet they will do that.
Yeah. What else? What else from the episode? We should probably talk about the end. I don't know if we want to jump there yet.
We should also talk about Monster Girl and the creeping relationship that's happening here, and it's really
all right. Well, let's talk about the Monster Girl thing. What do you think about that? Because she in this episode, Rudy has created a Monster Girl robot for her. She doesn't love it. She, in fact, hates it. It feels like nothing is going on with this relationship right now.
Yes. It's like the opposite. I think I said this last episode. It's the opposite of the Mark Amber relationship. It's like just wrong all the time, but it does seem to, and in that way, it's continuing when maybe it shouldn't. For the emotional well-being of both of them. I also thought it sort of dovetailed nicely with, was it Samson and Bulletproof? Mm-hmm. Just talking about all the problems with everyone on the team. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was fun of kind of being like, this isn't the greatest team. Like, we got some real problems here. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, as a viewer, if I didn't read the comics and know that there was more to this relationship, I would be like, why are we spending so much goddamn time with these two? What's the fucking deal?
It's a lot of setup. It's like sort of a middling thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of setup for stuff, to get back to Anissa for a second, when Anissa showed up, I don't know about you guys, but I immediately, like, it's probably too traumatic to say my heart stopped, but I was like, oh no, oh, I forgot about this. Because there is a thing that happens pretty much later on in the run of Invincible that is one of, if not the most controversial thing that happens in the comic book. And not in a, ooh, what do you think way, so much as a, I don't know if they should have done that way. I don't know if we should say it on the podcast, Pete. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if we need to get into it before, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If the show brings it up, then maybe that's something we discuss about. But yeah, it was irky for sure. Where we saw her and you're just like, oh my God, I'm emotionally triggered here. And I hope things are different from what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I agree with that. We can talk about it later. If anybody wants to look it up online, I'm sure you can find it anywhere. But just in terms of the episode, I thought this was very well done in terms of a villain plot that makes sense. Like the way that she describes what the Viltrumites are doing in terms of, isn't it easier? We just let us take over. No more disease. Everybody's better. We'll take care of the giant monsters and all of this stuff. It's fine. And honestly, she makes a good argument there, but I think that's kind of what fascism is they make a good argument for let us take care of it. And ultimately, Mark understands that, which is why I think he reaches the decision that he makes towards the end.
Yeah, well, and I really liked the way – I think I agree with you, like terrifying to see her because of what we know from the comics. But then I think just really meticulously set up all of the sort of fascistic points. And then that's why like everyone's like Cecil's like, just give in. We're like, it's fine. And he's like, no, that's the one thing we can't do or I can't do.
Well, that's
I just – that was shown without telling us what he was doing and what it meant. I really enjoyed that.
I think what this show is doing, especially in this episode, is showing us like – perfect people for perfect situations, right? Donald was the perfect person to talk him off the ledge because nobody else knows what it's like to wake up a nightmare robot, but Donald does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like being like, hey, just give in, say the thing that doesn't mean anything. A lot of other people could do that very easily. But Mark's not going to because specifically of the bullshit that he's been through. So I like what we're showcasing. And, you know, because sometimes there are decisions made and we're like, well, I don't, you know, why would that person specifically go one way or the other? But they're showing us exactly why kind of some person is making the decision that they're making. And the reasons behind it are pretty solid. So you're not kind of second guessing at all.
I also think this episode was just all about showing Mark's real superpower, getting his ass kicked constantly.
Oh.
Like, what do you think about – I was trying to decide whether they're butt eyes or puckered lipped eyes, but everybody on the show, when they get punched too hard, they always have one eye that's bruised over, and it looks like it's making a little kissy face. Have you noticed that?
A little butthole.
Yeah.
Butthole eye. I think that's something – it reminds me of stuff from like Archie comics where they would always draw certain things the same no matter what. I was like, okay, that's your thing. That's your idea of what being hurt is, having a butt eye.
Yeah. And we do get a bunch of big cliffhangers at the end here. The big one that we haven't talked about yet is Angstrom Levy is at Mark's house.
Yeah, the after credits is now before credits, a cliffhanger kind of ending there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was another cliffhanger after that, but that's bad. But I'm excited to see it. Like, I'm excited to – they've been teasing out the Agstrom-Levy stuff all season long to finally get to it in the last episode, which I think we knew they would, but I'm glad they're doing. That's great.
I feel like Mark's just going to tee off on this dude.
Like, you think so?
The way that it happened, like coming right out of the all this bad shit that happened to him into like, haha, the villain's home. I feel like he's just going to like, he's going to be the most like Nolan that he ever.
Well, that's the point of the season, right? Sorry to interrupt you, Pete, but the point of the season is it started. I mean, this wasn't the exact first scene, but like the first episode was him saying, what if I turned out to be my dad? And Cecil being like, you're not your dad. And that's what they've hit pretty much every episode. So, Justin, as you're saying, I think the last episode, that's what they got to reach a conclusion about. They have to reach a conclusion about, is he his dad or is he not his dad? That's sort of the entire series at the same point. I don't think it'll stop there, but like just in terms of structuring a season, you have to have some sort of change point there. Sorry, Pete, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say something that's not as well thought out as you, but because of the comic book,
you're just going to scream, I like Mark.
About to say something really stupid, but this show, because of the comic book, as soon as we see like a new villain or a new hero, whatever, I'm like, this show loves punching through things. So as soon as we saw Sterling Kane Brown's kind of like new form, I was like, oh, I bet Mark could punch through that brain head like no problem.
And spoilers, that's what happens to him in American Fiction as well.
That is a fantastic movie and does not deserve that joke at all.
And second of all, or just first off?
Yeah, it was only
he only does firsts. Okay. Leave him wanting more.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Then, of course, we do have the post-credits thing where we cut back in with everything going on with Anissa and Alan and the Viltrumites. Alan is jacked up. He's way stronger. He's able to hurt Anissa.
That's exciting.
And he, very Love similar that. To Mark in terms of, like, give up, just say the thing. In this case, Alan is definitely like, I'm going to get captured. Sounds good. And he not plays dead, but plays unconscious to get possum. In with him. Plays possum. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm just a little worried about this strategy because I was like, okay, great. You might be able to take her because she's bleeding, which bleeding in space is extra gross, turns out. Just kind of floats in front of you a little bit. I think I
love that. Would you slurp some of that up?
No.
Yeah, have blood?
What are you, a vampire?
Well, no, blood sickle.
It's your blood. It's your blood. It's already inside
you. Can
you
drink your own blood, Pete. I'll do it all the time.
I drink all of my fluids.
Alex would just go flying by drinking other people's blood. Like, you done with this? You done?
Homer Simpson in space.
Those little, like, and it's cold in space, too. So those are probably, like, frozen little globules. It's like Orbits, that old soda you remember.
Everyone loves Orbits. Yum.
I thought you might go with the ice cream cone that is, like, or the ice cream. What is it? The ice cream with the
Dippin' Dots? Dippin' Dots? Yeah, it's actually probably closer to Dippin' Dots than Orbits.
Yeah. Dippin' Bloods. Mm-hmm. Yum.
I don't know what I was saying before we got derailed by this.
No, I think we've said everything we need to say about this episode of Invincible. Are there any other...
I was worried about the fact that how smart of a move is it to be brought in where now he's going to be in the ship, all these bad guys, and yet you can take one maybe, but I was like, take this fight now, Alan. Mm-hmm. This is the time. Playing possum could get you into more trouble. I'm a little worried about his move.
No, I think possums always end up like doing pretty well.
Oh yeah, every time.
Yeah, anytime a possum because they're playing.
Possums
they're
never die, famously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Goonies.
Right. That's the original script was called Possums.
Yeah, and it was about possums. The thing is, I think he's got a plan. It's not just he's not just screwing around.
Yeah, his plan is play dead, and then they're going to bring him on the ship, and then what?
remember he read all the books from Nolan through his little iPhone. So I think he's got a plan.
Yeah. And interestingly, at that point in history, Sean Astin and Corey Feldman were actually cheaper to get than a possum.
Exactly. Exactly. They shot. They actually shot the whole first act with a possum playing the Sean Astin role.
Yeah. Chunk was the same, though. It was the same actor.
Yeah.
You should check it out. It's online. It's like the Eric Stoltz Back to the Future. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Well,
wow.
I think we're done talking about Invincible here. What was the Invincible moment of the episode? Pete, what was your Invincible moment of the episode?
I'm going to say the... No, that doesn't make sense. I'll go with Principal Winslow showing up to save the day so Mark can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, because he, you know, he's got his buddy in the corner. You know what I mean?
That feels like the least invincible moment of the episode.
I don't care. I was just so happy to see him, and we didn't get to talk about him yet, so I'm taking it now.
Nice. My invincible moment was right after the Amber breakup when Mark goes to Adam Eve and they like make out for a little while.
Didn't happen. That only happened in your head when you closed your eyes and went to sleep.
Didn't happen yet, but it doesn't mean it's not invincible.
Yeah, and you write fan fiction about your coworkers as well, right?
Hey, I got bad news. You two are my coworkers. Yes.
Hey, you're already getting married to one of us.
Invincible moment of the episode. I think when Mark was resisting Anissa, like that really, what we were talking about earlier points to his character. And we talk about this incessantly on the podcast, but what makes Mark different, not just from the Viltrumites, but from other heroes at the same time, is he is going to keep resisting. He is going to keep trying to do the same right thing. Particularly with Angstrom Levy hitting hard, presumably in the next episode, we're going to be dealing a lot with that alternate Mark thing. And we've seen other universes where he's bad. So finding out how Mark is different and really pushing on that, I think that's a key moment because he keeps being tested and he keeps coming out morally on top, or at least trying to. So,
do you think we'll see the kind of clone twins in the next episode?
Twins? Yeah. Maybe. I did wonder where they were while watching this episode, so it's weird that you brought it up. But we'll see. They're always around somewhere. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Invincible, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice. To subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, this has been Anissa Save America, and she did it. She did it once again.
Oh, boy.
Good ideas.
Boys, I gotta get this truckload of possums out to Saginaw. So if you guys want to talk about Saginaw? Ice road truckers. Saginaw. Let's talk ice road, huh? Since we're out.
You almost said Syracuse. I thought you were going to say Syracuse.
Saginaw.